B-Pod Studios.
We match up well with the Falcons, even though they have those weapons. So if we can just put points up on the board, I think we'll do enough defensively to come away with the win.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Josh. I appreciate the call. That's been the big thing with Julio Jones the last couple of years, is that Julio Jones has gotten all those yards, but he hasn't been able to score a touchdown. Now, joining me, a very special guest helping me out, Jamie. What's going on, man?
Ah, what's going on, Chunas?
It's the host of the post-game show here, Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas, talking some birds.
And I just got some news, Andrew. Pretty exciting stuff.
Another
colleague of ours, an attendee of LaSalle College High School, a fine, upstanding gentleman, Tim McManus, is going to be joining the post-game show following every game this year. He's going to hop on from the locker room, give us the rundown on injuries, what's going on in the locker room, and everything else. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
Well, that's awesome to hear. Now, Jamie, you heard the caller just now. He's talking about his concerns with the Eagles' defense because of the health, but they were able to stop Julio Jones in recent years. It's a different year, and this time it's in Atlanta. We did the postgame show. You saw how the Eagles' defense played against the Redskins. How are they going to play against this Atlanta Falcons offense? A much better offense than what Washington has.
Well, look, with the defense in particular, you're never going to be great at everything. It's too tough. And back when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, they were number one in the NFL against the run. If you can make a team one-dimensional, you can still be effective, even, in my opinion, with a subpar secondary. So to me, and they showed it in week one, I think they allowed 28 rushing yards to the Redskins. To me, if you shut down the run versus any opponent, you have to manage your secondary, but it can still be an effective way to win football games. Shut down the run, which we know they're capable of.
Oh, yeah.
You deal with the rest. And I think once you get inside the 20s, this is a different secondary than we are in between the 20s, where I think they struggle the most.
Well, yeah, that's, we saw McLaurin just completely burn out Rasul Douglas, because Rasul Douglas, that was a bad matchup. We talked about that.
And Jim said that was the play call. He had no safety help over top. So to me, that's on Jim Schwartz, because Rasul Douglas is your physical cornerback. He's not a speedster. Putting him on a 4-3 guy is not an ideal matchup for Rasul. So to me,
and what happens when it's not Case Keenum? And it's Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's going to be able to read that as well. And now Case Keenum did that, and that's why they scored the touchdown. But Matt Ryan's going to be able to find that every single time.
Yeah. And, I think it's going to be an over game on Sunday. I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. But to me, take Devontae Freeman out of the game and deal with the rest. And I think you'll be fine. You know, we all know they're a passing attack. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Austin Hooper, and Mohamed Sanu. That's tough. There's no way to sugarcoat it. But you give the guy some help over the top. Maybe don't have Malcolm Jenkins down in the box as much. Have McLeod kind of play center field there for you and deal with it. And Julio's going to get his numbers. He always is. There's no team capable of stopping him. So just focus on stopping him in the red zone where he has his problems. It's one of the biggest mysteries in the NFL to me as to why Julio Jones
can't score touchdowns
in the red zone.
It really is amazing, especially because
what is he,
of his
six, he's 6'5"?
Yeah, he's a huge receiver. He should be the red zone threat, but they got all those other weapons, so maybe that's what it is. Maybe he gets doubled up when they are in the red zone, and Matt Ryan is a good enough quarterback to find guys like Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu open in the end zone, because they do score points. It's not like they get shut out every single week.
But usually Julio's touchdowns come on the bigger plays or the chunk plays or the big yardage plays down the field. To me, Matt Ryan is a very good quarterback, obviously. But when he gets in the red zone and he's got pressure around him, I think he suffers from the happy feet a little bit. And to me, that's where you can take advantage of this secondary. Just shut down the run, force Matt Ryan. You know, he's going to get his yards. He's going to get his chunk plays. But once you get in the red zone, shut him down, and all is well.
Hey, Jamie, great stuff, man. Thanks for filling in. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
Thanks for having me in, Andrew.
Well, let's now head to Sicklerville and go to the Tilt to Kilt and talk to Anthony and Jason. Anthony and Jason are back. What's up, guys?
What's up, brother? What was your,
rant?
Yeah, what was that take?
No, he was talking about the secondary, and I said, you know, back in 2017, they were number one against the run in the NFL. And to me, you're never going to be great at everything defensively. They've showed that they are capable of shutting down teams' runs. To me, you know, focus on that and deal with the rest as it comes. But if you can take away the run, you make a team one-dimensional and it makes life a little easier.
Of course. Stands to reason.
I don't think there's any
having
doubt.
All those options for the Eagles makes them more
dangerous. And sure. Do you guys know why Julio Jones is, like, incapable of scoring touchdowns in the red zone? It's really one of the NFL's great mysteries.
I thank God that slipped 2 years ago.
I mean, part of it is that it's all about coverage, right? Like, You're always going to move your coverage and try to blanket.
Oh, absolutely. Jones. But he's 6'5". You would think a couple jump balls, a couple fade routes, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it, but
better footer.
Weird stuff.
I think there's your answer. I don't think it's any great mystery. I think, you know, the one guy you're going to pay attention to is him. I mean, you know, that just goes without saying.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a shootout on Sunday. I like the Birds a little bit, but it's going to be a dogfight.
Well, here's what you got to do, though. To get your true answer to how you feel about a game, you have to do, you suss it out X and O.
Yeah.
But you also have to do the football yoga.
You got to do a vinyasa and downward dog, James.
Don't laugh. Listen. Close your eyes.
All right.
Focus on the music.
What's my mantra?
Listen, forget about mantra just yet. But I want you to clear the empty skull of yours.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there's like two brain cells fighting it out.
Stop talking.
Right?
Stop talking. You're messing up the juju. Listen, focus on the music. Don't speak. Focus on that. Focus on the horns. Let your thoughts wash away, and you should have an answer as to who wins.
Eagles 34. Falcons 31.
Ooh, all right.
It's a cover.
Let's see.
The mantra,
a lot of points, man,
is be the Duke. Feel the Duke. Smell the Duke. It's all about the Duke is our guru.
The Duke
is the guru of football yoga. I can see this now. There is going to be football yoga studios opening up across the country. It's going to have big screen TVs. It's going to be the only yoga studio with a kegerator. You know what I mean? You're going to have a kegerator in the studio. So you're going to do like downward dog and like have to do a shot when you're down. You know? I like this football yoga thing. I'm telling you, I think you're on to something.
You just got
to
focus on the music. You can't speak like the bro. The bro loves his talk, right? He just... Yeah, you got to be quiet, and you have to let the football music, and you have to think about the game. Actually, move your thoughts and let the thoughts come to you. Like your feelings will come to you. It'll wash over you.
Yeah, it's not. It's like listening to Hendrix. You can't listen to Jimmy. You got to hear Jimmy.
Right.
You got to hear that.
You have to focus on music. You don't even need a mantra. You don't need to say anything. Because you just need to focus on the music with your eyes closed.
And it'll take you to your center.
And it'll take you to a play. It will.
All right.
To your football center.
All right. 610-632-0975. So he said, what, 34-31 is where he is. That's a high-scoring game. I think this is a high-scoring game. And that's my hope for the Eagles. That it's like if I see the Eagles winning it, and I don't right now, but I would have to go, it would be like 37-33. Some weird score. But each team is in the 30s. Because this defense, I don't know with that secondary against all those different receivers. They had a hard time with Case Keenum and that direct receivers they had. And Vernon Davis. They didn't even have Jordan Reed.
When we suss this out, you know, the big thing about Jim is going to be, you know, how you have to give some pride. I mean, unless those guys are getting home, and without Malik Jackson giving you that push, and you get singled up on the outside on the ends, like those guys got to get home. Now, I'm a big Timmy Jernigan fan, so you know you hope that you know he can sustain. But again, that's an offense. What are they going to do? What did Washington do against the Eagles? Knowing that they're not big pressure team, they max protected, right?
Yep.
They took shots down the field when you max protect. Atlanta will max protect.
And both lines aren't very good at protecting the quarterback. Washington's wasn't either, but the Eagles only ended up with one sack in the game. Only got home one time. Trent Williams.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is Eric like, Flowers. You know, the quarterback knows he's got to get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
And then when you max protect, it's going to give you some added time for those routes that need some time to develop, right? So my guess is Atlanta comes into this thing, and they're gonna try to max protect and go down the field. All right, that's their offense. The key is, can the Atlanta defense for them? How are they going to play the Eagles? Now, if you're Doug, you know that the Atlanta defense, which is smallish, quick but small, got pushed around. So you know that the Vikings run game was what really worked. I think you have to be careful, and I know Doug, like Doug loves to throw it. And he should with Carson Wentz and this all these weapons. And I think that should open up the run. Like I don't think you come out looking to run right off the bat, because I think what they're going to do is they're going to stack it a little bit more, because they realized how that's on film. Watching Minnesota just run up and down the field on and hold the ball, so they're going to want to force play. So you take it. You go, all right. You want to stack the box on me? I'm going to hit you. All right, with my multitude of weapons, my array of weapons.
When's the last time you remember a team scoring 28 points in a win and having 8 receptions in a game? Because that's what Minnesota had, 8 receptions in that game.
He was 8 for 9?
He in the game total, so Kirk Cousins in the game was 8 for 10.
8 for 10.
98 yards, 1 touchdown, and a 140.8 rating. But they only had 8 receptions for 98 yards, 1 touchdown in the game, Thielen's touchdown.
Yeah.
And he was the high receiver for 43 yards on 3 catches.
Yeah.
I mean, in today's NFL, this is like that's a throwback stat line.
Yeah, but that's not even that's a throwback to pre-Super Bowl. That's not 70s.
40s.
That's a throwback.
Tracy Neal.
Yeah, that's a throwback to when the Eagles roamed the earth.
Yeah.
And they won it in what, 42? Then they went to
49.
49 or whatever. I don't know. That skews everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a bizarre offensive stat line.
They only threw the ball.
Now, Zimmer, that's what Zimmer, you know, the whole DeFilippo Zimmer thing. Like, could you imagine? Like, first of all, why would you hire him knowing that he likes to throw, and then you're freaking out because he's throwing the ball?
Yeah. But you paid that quarterback all that money, and Kirk Cousins, you didn't pay him to hand it off. You know, he's got good receivers and Diggs and Thielen.
He's got great receivers.
Yeah.
Even Rudolph's good. Like,
yeah.
You know, but when you got a back like Dalvin Cook, it's a perfect kind of, you know, I think it's good to employ it that way.
Yeah.
Because you're just that much more dangerous with those receivers.
Yeah, Dalvin, 21 carries, 111 yards, and a 5.3 average and 2 touchdowns. That was a good opening week for Dalvin Cook. 610-632-0975. We've cleared out the phone lines. We lost our connection, but we're back, and we need people to jump on. We need our charter chapter members. How do you feel about this game? And really, the question you kind of started off the show with, Ant, and it's a very interesting one, is, you know, we're coming into this season with a lot of question marks about the quarterback. We know of his skill set, but would he look like the quarterback from 2 years ago? Would he look like the quarterback last year? He knocked off the rust in that first quarter and a half in the game. And going forward for the rest of that football game against the Redskins, he was sensational. 12 of 13 on third down, 3 touchdowns, and a 158.3 rating. Perfect. So when you go forward with Carson Wentz and seeing what you saw, is Carson back? Or is he even better than he was 2 years ago? Because of the weaponry he has at his disposal.
Yeah, forget about like the better than, you know,
yeah,
2 years ago. We had this thought and this notion of what and who Carson is, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel it again? I can't be more excited. We missed it, by the way, Junis. Allie, this is on you.
I'm sorry. We were dealing with some technical difficulties here at the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So we'll give you an alibi.
I can't blame you on that.
I'm sorry.
It's been a tech filled morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all right. That's not your fault. But we are, I can't be more thrilled at what I saw from Carson.
What a way to start a season. 610-633.
I got to rouse Mr. X.
Oh, you should. You should poke that little bear. He's a little bear right now. He's not chesty today. Has he been texting you? Like getting all chirpy?
No, I've not heard from.
Oh, gee, that's shocking.
Mr. X. Mr. X, in case you don't know, is a guy he's a guy in the league.
Who's an affiliation?
He's a friend of mine. I've known him forever. He's in the league, and he lives in the area. So when he's in, he might be traveling. When he's in the area, he always checks in. He listens to the show, and he loves to poke about Carson because he's not the biggest Carson guy. So he's been poking me all camp. And he poked me all last year. But now I got a little comeback, and I got crickets.
This Mr. X has got all the earmarks of a Roach Cowboy fan.
No, he's not a fan of it. He's
not a fan, but he's got those tendencies of when things don't fit his narrative, he goes under the fridge and hides. We got to pull out the fridge and suss out this Mr. X. By the way, bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philly. We'll get to him. And also at 12:30 today, we'll talk to Brian Finneran down in Atlanta. He'll give us some intel from that perspective. And at 1:10, Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. It's the Midday Show, live at the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's talk a little Parks Casino tonight. Cousins Corner tonight. You don't want to miss it. Always a lot of fun at that incredible sports book, Parks Casino Street Road in the Northeast. That's right. We love hanging out. PA's number one casino, my casino of choice. What a spot to go and hang out. Love it, man. Got all the bells and whistles and big bar, great food, and stadium seating to watch all the games. But if you are not near there and you can't get to it, and you're PA and you still want all the action of all the games, don't forget. That's right. You can go to parkscasino.com/PA. You use the promo code GREEN, and you can get a risk-free bet up to $500. That's right. That's what you do. You go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code GREEN. Get your risk-free bet to $500. Here's the deal. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. Download the app right now or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Get on the action online. Get your first free bet to $500. Got to be 21. Present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 97.5
The Fan. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Attic. Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
All right, coming up, we'll talk to Derek Gunn. We are live right here, the Tilted Kilt. Great spot, man.
It is a great spot. A lot of people at the bar, the big the square bar to our right, enjoying cocktails and delicious food and conversation with the beautiful Tilted Kilt staff here. It's a great day.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. It's love this spot. Good. Put it in rotation.
Put it in the I like that.
I like put it in rotation.
Better than the Phillies rotation. No Eflin here, brother.
Don't get me started.
Kill.
I get aggravated. Yeah, yesterday we invoked, in case we're going on a tangent, we're going to give the each caller will have power, audible power.
Mm.
So you can call up, and if you have a subject that you're dying to discuss, you call up and you go... Right on point. Tunis, you are like my John Stockton. And you
from
can
Gonzaga.
You can change the tenor of the conversation.
Just that easy.
Or the subject.
A little kill. 610-632-0975. Let's head to the Northeast and talk to Dustin. He joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, Dust.
Fellas, how are you?
What's up, brother?
A great show as usual. I don't get to call in as much as I like to, but I love talking to you guys.
Thanks, brother.
I don't understand why everybody's so worried about the defense. I mean, I understand they did not look good, but that second half, they really did step it up a little bit. And, you know, people are forgetting when we won the Super Bowl, we let up over 550 yards. 550 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, it was the GOAT and the greatest quarterback of all time, but we still let up 550 yards. The thing that we need to be excited for is that offense started clicking in the second half, and if they continue to keep doing that, we're the best team in the league because nobody's going to be able to run with us.
Yeah, I agree with you when it comes to that offense. That offense, it could be a complete game changer when it comes to how you approach and play this team. I do think the concerns over the defense is warranted. I mean, the back end didn't particularly play well. Remember, you're playing Case Keenum, And the Washington receivers are all young, inexperienced guys. I think they had like, you know, 9 games of NFL experience combined. So, and you had a young running back. So, you know, that's not, and no Trent Williams. So, again,
well, another.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got one more point, and I have a request from you, but I do it every year. But the other point that I wanted to bring up, nobody was talking about, was in that Super Bowl. I know I keep bringing up old times, but it was the greatest season of my life. But that Super Bowl year, what was the greatest part about our team?
We didn't see it coming. Was,
not that, no, next statistically. Yeah, statistically. Statistically.
Third down.
Exactly. And yep, third down on Sunday, what did we go, 9 for 11?
No, Carson was 12 for 13 throwing the ball on third down.
How about Deshaun, 5 third-down catches?
When you convert those third downs, it is a complete game changer. I'm not worried like everybody else is.
Panicked and worried,
I'm with Jimmy, dude. Don't break. And I really think that we have another run in. Real quick, before you let me go, cuz, you got to do me a favor.
Sure.
We got to end the show the way we did that Super Bowl year. Give me a Brandon Graham, thank you, 97.5 to end the show, please. Aww. And go Birds!
You know what? Yes. That's a great idea.
Thank you, 97.5.
Thank you, BG. That's how we're going to end it. Tunis? Can you make that happen?
A little Brandon Graham.
Thank you, 97.5.
Thank you, BG. All right, so we'll hit the music. Well, Jason will do the hand-to-shoulder, hand-off to Mikey Miss.
We need to roll a bed.
All right, you got to get a proper, right? We'll rotate whatever network they're on.
Okay, go with the
and
for
use
that
the football
week.
Film, the football, the music.
And during Sixer season, we go to
score.
We go to the Andrew play the song.
Correct.
Thank you, 97.5.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
So do I. I always like the meld of the two. Did we do that with the Sixer song and the EAGLES on top of that?
We can do. Yeah, we got to come
we
up.
We did that.
What do they call it when they mix two songs together? A mashup. We got to do the Sixers-Eagles mashup.
Yeah.
We got to get, like, Trent Reznor on the case to produce it.
No, we got lots of great DJs in the area.
Trent Reznor's a visionary.
I know.
Let's go to, we're going to talk to Derek Gunn, actually. Well, Matt and Andrew, you guys hold on the line, because we got to talk to D Gunn from NBC Sports.
It's a pretty good way to end the show, though. That's a good way to end it. We're doing it a better ending, too. We didn't have really an ending. Now we have the ending.
Yeah. Well, we'll solicit if people want to give us good end-of-the-show songs. Do we like that? Because you had the – which one did you have? This is the end. Is that Frank Stallone?
Did we have Frank? No. We did have Frank Stallone, yeah. Yeah. I'm a big Frank Stallone. But I love it. We were joking around, but, you know, with it.
Yeah.
Was it Frank Stallone or the other guy? I guess it was Frank Stallone.
I think it's Frank Stallone. Yeah. This is the – it sounds like the song from – one of the songs from, Scarface.
Yes.
Produced in that –
yes,
Giorgio Moroder.
Correct.
Kind of vain. But one, we just heard from Brandon Graham. He was actually mic'd up during the game. We got to play him mic'd up a little later.
Yeah.
And the great dynamic exists between our next guest and Brandon Graham.
They did a feature, and he's got to know about this, of course, but they did a feature on BG during the telecast, and they showed BG hugging D Gunn. It was awesome. Did you know about this?
I didn't know about it until a couple of hours after the game, and I started getting these texts, and they said you were on the Fox pregame open. I said, "What are you talking about?"
Really?
Obviously, I'm on the field. I have no way of seeing this stuff. So, no, I wasn't aware of it until after the game was over.
It was awesome, D. So. You know, it's the problem. We're all hype pregame, the whole thing, and they do a BG feature. He didn't think he was going to be back, and he said his teary goodbyes, even to the media. And then you see BG hugging Derek Gunn. It was awesome.
So by default, I got my 15 seconds of national fame.
Hey, you look good, man. It was good. I
just happened to be a prop in his story.
Yeah, but I was impressed. Hey, look, we're all props in life, right?
Exactly.
It's their story. We're just here to be a conduit, right? So, look, that's a big prop right there, man.
That's a perfect way to put it.
D-Gun, they come out of week one, a little bit of a rusty first half on, I guess you can say, both sides of the ball. But, you know, you saw Carson in camp. We fans didn't see any of Carson really in camp because he didn't play any preseason. When you saw what he accomplished in that second half of the football game, dialed in, looking great, great pocket awareness, great ability to throw use every throw that he's got. And for them to come back in that game from a 27 deficit to end up winning against the Redskins, what was your assessment of Carson Wentz and his play for the Eagles in week one?
Well, the first quarter plus was exactly what I was anticipating. None of the offensive regulars hardly played together in the preseason. And I thought it took them a quarter plus to kind of get rid of some of that offseason rust. But once they settled in, they figured out what the Redskins were doing, and Carson got in that rhythm. Man, he was unstoppable, especially in third down situations in that second half. And then once they started not just running the ball, but you look at some of the gaping holes they had up the middle for backs to run through to help set up those passes, man. They looked like a complete offense in that second half. And granted, you know, some guys didn't get as many touches as they wanted to, but that's going to be the case week in and week out. I think with this offense and this personnel, you know, you look at a lot of offenses around the National Football League, and you always know one or two guys are going to be the featured guys in their offense. With this offense, it could be any given body, any given week. And I know that's got to give a lot of defensive coordinators nightmares because you don't know exactly what to defend for in a game against this offense.
I agree. I do. I mean, when you look at this offense and the multitude of options, see, Deshaun makes the whole thing. Because when you have that kind of speed on the outside with that kind of pass catching ability, he's the best deep threat in the NFL. I mean, and so
at 32,
you go into you're a DC, you go into the whole thing going, all right, well, I can't give up these bombs. So I got to roll safeties, and right off the bat, you're giving up the run. You're hurting your run defense right off the bat, and then you throw in all the other weapons. You know, this we always talked about him being the great space maker. It's him.
There's no question about it. You start rolling a safety over to his side, you can't have a safety cheat up. Especially a lot of teams that like to play the single high safety, which now starts to open up a lot of the running lanes. And then you look at the diversity they have in the backfield. And I know Miles Sanders, he had 11 carries, 25 yards. I didn't get a chance to show a lot, but, you know, mark my word, I think sooner rather than later, this kid is going to be the feature back in his backfield this season. I know Doug likes to talk about his running back by committee, but because of this kid's quickness, his ability to get out in open space, he's going to be a problem in terms of matching up in the receiving game as well. I can see this young man already starting to get more regular season touches than Jordan Howard or Corey Clement. And, you know, Darren Sproles, you know, you look at the volume of touches that a Darren Sproles had in this game. I think that's way too many for Darren Sproles. He's a phenomenal talent, future Hall of Famer, maybe not a first ballot, but he's a future Hall of Famer. But I don't think you need to have Darren Sproles have as many touches as he had for him to be just as effective as he needs to be in a game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to get into this a little bit because I agree with you. And I think Sanders does. He looks sleek. He looks like an elegant type of back.
Blitz pickup.
But I will tell you this. Jordan Howard, I love the way he runs, man. He's downhill. He's with this line because this line needs to go forward. Right? Remember the two runs in the first half, second quarter? He had back-to-back runs where there were like the first two real positive plays. And I thought Doug missed a little bit of an opportunity because he went from there, he went to a wide receiver screen. But the point is that he should, when you're downhill, you got to feed him. Like, you can't forget about Jordan Howard.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of Jordan Howard. He's that banger between the tackles. To me, he's like a combination of a LeGarrette Blount and a Jay Ajayi. He keeps the legs moving. He tires out a defense. When you see defensive players bending over with their hands on their knees, then you know that's when he's being most effective, especially late in the game when you got a nice lead and you want to sit on the lead.
Yeah, your 4-minute offense. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I look at him as an 18-wheeler. I look at the Miles Sanders as your Ferrari and him as your 18-wheeler. So the combination and how they complement each other, it's unbelievable. And it's only the first game, and I understand that. And as the season goes along, you're going to have coordinators make different adjustments to attack the running game as well. I understand it. We all understand that. But, man, it is a thing of beauty to watch and watch the chess match that Doug Peterson can play with defenses across the NFL this year.
No doubt. Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philly joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hey, Derek, defensively, on the other side of the ball, certainly there was a little rust offensively. You saw what happened in that first half and Case Keenum going up and down the field on the Eagles, putting up 20 points in the first half. Was that a byproduct of rust, or should we be a little bit concerned about this defense and their lack of ability in that game in particular to get home, to get some sacks and force some disruption on Case Keenum in that first half? Is that rust, or is that a legit concern going forward?
Right now, to me, as I look back on this, I think it's a combination of the two. I'm trying to give them a benefit of the doubt that it's rust. You know, Fletcher didn't play all preseason, didn't practice a whole lot. They preserved him until the regular season started. He looked good. And now that you've lost Malik Jackson, that's going to hurt a little bit. I hope it's attributed more to rust than a sample of what we're going to see throughout the course of the season. But I do have genuine concerns about that pass secondary. I mean, this was a secondary that finished 30th in the league last year in pass coverage. It got better as the season went along because they played a lot of kids. And let's face it, those kids really stepped up. But, okay, those same kids now coming out of the gate this year, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, this is not – Aaron Rodgers, this is not Tom Brady throwing a football. This is Case Keenum throwing a football. Now, granted, Terry McLaurin, I was shocked that he lasted until the third round when
he's
came
terrific,
up.
But they're, right these are young. They're young. These kids.
Green.
That Washington receiver core is a young, inexperienced core. They should not be getting exploited.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point, Ant. I mean, they got their baptism last year. So these kids should be good to go this year for the Eagles in their secondary. Now, the way I'm looking at it now, we may have to sprinkle a little holy water, call in a priest, or do something, or baptize some players, man, because now you're talking about a trio of wide receivers that are big, physical, and can flat-out move. This Eagles secondary, I don't think they have anybody in the secondary that can flat-out out-physical a physical wide receiver. So positioning and technique is going to be everything, but it's all predicated with these guys putting pressure on Matt Ryan up front. And if I'm the Falcons offense and I'm looking at how the Redskins went to max protect to allow Keenum to do some of the things they do, that makes me real nervous about the Falcons passing game, especially a Falcons team that's going home for its first home game of the season. They're ticked off because they shot themselves in the foot a lot of ways. In Minnesota, they turned the ball over early, and all of a sudden they were down 14-0. They played better in the second half. So there's a whole lot of dynamics to go back and forth with as we look ahead to this game.
Yeah, and you got to tackle. I mean, once again,
oh my goodness.
There's nothing more frustrating than when you see Darby trying to tackle or you see that group. I mean, you got to get better. You got to tackle.
That play where Vernon Davis, who's 95 years old, leaped 2 inches off the ground and hurdled one DB, hurdled Darby, who went under him like a matador. Yeah. And you have Zendejo. I guess he thought he was going to push him out of bounds. And then McLeod also. I mean, McLeod is known for tackling. And all of a sudden, you got three Eagles jerseys, bumping into each other. And this guy, 95 years old, is hobbling to the end zone.
Yeah.
If I'm Jim Schwartz, I'm showing them that tape over and over and over all week long. We cannot have this as the competition gets better.
Hey, real quick, just talking about Jim. This Falcon offense, you got to pressure. You got to pressure Matt Ryan.
No question.
Because if they sit back and they just rush four and he's got time, you're dead back there.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ant, but if their pressure's not getting home and all of a sudden the Falcons adjust, and they're killing you with the crossing routes over the middle. And again, I don't know if I trust these guys to tackle one-on-one in a lot of situations. It's a hit or miss. You know, Jim Schwartz gets a lot of criticism from fans on social media. And if you look at, you know, look at what Jim's working with, he doesn't have an overall star-studded defense like some teams do. And I'm not sitting here making excuses to Jim Schwartz. But if you think about it, he only has, what, a couple of Pro Bowlers on his defense. So considering what he's working
on, a lot of money. He does have a lot of money tied up in his line, which he likes.
Okay, what about the first line of defense?
Forget the linebackers. I'm talking about the line and I'm talking about the secondary. They spend money there. They spend draft picks there. I mean, you know, they're trying, right? Like, he's trying to give them the corners.
And he gives them a line.
But the thing with Schwartz, D-Gun, I'm sure you'll agree to this. Listen, he's a I've said it a million times, professional defensive coordinator, right? I mean, he's not going to give up a ton of points. You know, like the Eagles, I think, have given up the least amount of points. We heard Sal Powell had a stat like that the other day.
Right.
But here's the problem, is that we don't jive with the bend but don't break. Goes back to freaking Swamp Fox, right? Like, this town likes Jim Johnson, right? We like pressure. That's what we're raised on.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. So that's why as long as he employs it the way he employs it, there's always going to be grousing because we're expecting pressure and turnovers and momentum.
Okay, and if your pressure's not getting home and it's bombs away week in and week out, then we're all complaining that Jim Schwartz is allowing teams to bomb away.
I don't think so. I think people understand. I think they're smart enough to grasp
risk reward.
I'm not questioning the intelligence of those of us who observed the game. I'm just saying it was a lot of similarities to what we saw last year. I mean, you know, you do one thing, another thing happens. You do the other thing. I mean, that's the case with a lot of teams in the league. You give and you take. What is your strength? What is your weakness?
Yeah.
You know, so that's my only point.
Cause and effect, for sure.
I agree. And I, like I said before, I think he's a professional. He knows what he's doing. You know, just, I think styles. I think we're all partial to certain styles.
Sure. There's no question about it.
Hey, D-Gun, what do you got coming up on Quick Slants and pre- and post-game live for some prime time action on Sunday?
Well, tonight on Quick Slants, Bear Brooks and I, we will have our friend from NBC Sports, Josh North. Everybody loves the fantasy football. Josh will give a little insight on who to look for this weekend. And then, of course, on Eagles Pregame Live coming up Sunday, it's not a 60, but a 90-minute edition of Eagles Pregame Live. From 6:30 to 8 o'clock, Ruben, Frank, and I will be down in Atlanta. Of course, you know the cast, the crew, in the studio each and every Sunday. So tune in. And, of course, after the game, you know Brandon Graham, whether I pick the Eagles or not, he's going to yell at me. And we'll get you all the interviews and all the pertinent comments after
always
the game.
Always great. Great stuff on NBC Philly. Great game day stuff you guys have.
D-Gun, man, we appreciate it. That's the lock of the week. You and BG are going to be going at it.
We got to get our own reality show, man. I got to find a sponsor for this.
I love it. Hey, man, we'll talk to you next week, Derek. Safe travels.
All right, man. You guys have a great day.
There he is, Derek on NBC Sports Philly, 610-632-0975. We're live at the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville. It's the Midday Show. That's Anthony Gargano, Jason
Rattle. Crowd already?
Yeah, I love it. They're having a good time. They're all eagled up, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. But I got to tell you about my friends at the Rothenberg Law Firm now, sports radio hosts and sports fans. What do we talk about? We talk about our great Philly teams, the players, and, of course, their stats. And every sports fan knows how important stats are, especially in fantasy. That measures success and figuring out what's working. Well, when I saw the stats at the Rothenberg Law Firm, I was blown away. Yeah, I've known that Allen and his firm have been winning here in Philly for years. But it's even bigger than that. So check out these stats. Did you know that they've been winning for injured people for nearly 50 years? Did you know that they've helped thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of injury cases? And did you know that they've won billions of dollars for injured people? That's billions with a B. Now, you don't have to be a manager of a team, and you don't have to be an expert to know that these guys are winners. The stats say it all. So if you're injured and you want to win, make the call to the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number, 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can always visit their website at injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Live from the Tilted Tilt, Sticklerville, New Jersey. Great spot and great people.
We got a great crowd here. Yeah. A lot of Eagle representation. I thought a lot of Flyers during the break with the people.
Were you?
Camp opening up tomorrow. Birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kill.
Kill.
By the way, real quick, I think that Provorov gets signed today. I think that deal gets done, Anthony.
Whatever happened to your boy Ghost?
This RFA thing and the way everything's kind of played out has made even the trade market stall because, you know, teams don't know what they're dealing with from a cap situation.
Yeah, because you were pretty bullish on the Ghosts.
I think that's still possible.
Listen, I trust you implicitly when it comes to that team.
Well, there's a D going. Once they sign Provorov, there's a trade to happen. And probably Hague or Morin's got no value, but yeah. Maybe it's Gostis Bear. But, you know, I'm intrigued to see. I think he can have a good bounce back year.
Right.
Trained in the city all summer. I like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
My man over here's got a Chuck Bednarik frame. You got to see this thing.
I saw it. How good the signatures are on it and what it says.
So that's what makes it. It's an iconic photo. It's the photo of Bednarik standing over Gifford, right? Yeah. Snow, the whole thing. It's an iconic photo, Philadelphia photo. But it's signed. And Chuck Bednarik writes, "This bleeping game is over!" Exclamation point.
What's it say at the bottom? Sorry, Frank.
Sorry, Frank.
Sorry, Frank. Is Frank's there out cold?
It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a great signature. It's awesome.
Yeah, and you got that at auction? Chinese auction. You got it at? Wow, man, that is what a great thing. And he's got a picture too, holding it up after the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So great stuff. Great keepsake for sure. 610-632-0975. Still to come, Anthony, at 12:30. We're going to go behind enemy lines. We're going to go down to Atlanta, and we're going to talk to the former Wildcat, former Villanova product, Brian Finneran, who will join us. Does radio down there. So we'll get to talk to him, his impressions of everything with the Falcons. And are they the team offensively that we saw against the Minnesota Vikings, or was that the Vikings defense just being great? Get some intel, and we'll talk to. I can't wait to talk to Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, he's terrific. We'll talk
to Carson.
He's a great quarterback guy.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Dan coming up after I bring the heat at 1:10.
All right, let me bring this in. We go back to the phone line.
Oh, you got a little layer to add?
I want to ask. I saw this. This is fascinating. So they're now booking lines. They just put this out, I think, in Vegas or one of these books that New England going undefeated.
Ooh.
Now, I thought about this, right? The Patriots, there's all talk because now with Antonio Brown and that offense.
Sure.
And they're going, can New England be undefeated? Now, I want to go no because of what happens. They got to come here.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be that game is going to be outrageous.
Yeah. Eagles off the bye week, too, if I recall, right?
No, they got Seattle after the bye, I think.
Let me bring that up.
Or maybe one of them. I don't know. It's Seattle, New England, or New England, Seattle.
Yeah, I think it's New England, Seattle. I'm bringing it up right now.
Bring it up.
It's bye week, New England, and then Seattle.
Okay, so bye week, New England.
Off the bye for Doug.
Now, is that what time's that game, Junis?
4:25.
How is that not an 8 o'clock game?
That could get flexed, no?
Yeah, that late.
That could be flexed, right?
It gets flexed.
That game should be.
No, it can't be because that's got to be the game of the week on Fox or CBS. So they can't flex that one. They protect that game.
Yeah, right now it's the Nance and Romo game.
Yeah, it's a CBS
game. Okay. Oh.
All right, close your eyes. Football yoga.
Tony Romo, Jim Nance, and Lincoln Financial Field. A rematch of Super Bowl 52. Wow.
Oh, man,
it would have been great on Sunday Night Football, or on Sunday night, though, because Al and Chris Collins were doing the Super Bowl.
They can't flex that game of the week?
I think those are protected, Anthony.
How could NBC not want Eagles Patriots before the season?
Yeah.
You gotta it's a rematch. Like, are you crazy?
Yeah, you got to let those networks protect, though. A little pass protect on that game.
I'd rather that game be a night.
That's
a night game, man.
Oh, you're dead right it is. So New England, what is the odds, Anthony, for them to go undefeated? It's got to be minus 800 to 1,200 at least.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.